Can we read first in the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 29, page 1030. Ezekiel 29 and verse 3. Thus saith the Lord Jehovah, behold, I am against thee, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, the great monster that lieth in the midst of his rivers, which saith, my river is mine own. I made it for myself. Jeremiah chapter 12, page 923. Jeremiah 12, in the middle of verse 5. And if in a land of peace thou thinkest thyself in security, how wilt thou then do in the swelling of the Jordan? And just a reference in Titus, epistle to Titus chapter 2. Titus 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God, which carries with it salvation for all men, has appeared, and so on. These scriptures relate to rivers. The Garden of Eden had a river that flowed out of it, and it split into four streams. Two of them we know of today, the Tigris and the Euphrates. The other two we don't know. But it shows the universality of God's desire to bless his creature. The gospel is going out worldwide tonight. God desires to bless you. And you need that blessing. And the only thing that will stop you getting it is your own will. So I've read of a river of independence of God, a river of death, and a river of grace. You know, Egypt represents the world system as independent of God. And that's what we have around us in the world tonight. Man has set up his world independent of God, independent of a creator God. He doesn't need God. He doesn't need Jesus. How wrong could he be? Even the very breath that we breathe is in the hand of a creator God. Daniel said to Belshazzar, the God in whose hand your breath is. Says in the Psalms, you know, that if he only thought of himself and withdrew his breath, all flesh would expire. But man goes on heedless of God. But you know, the world as a system is coming under judgment. Men are concerned about the effects of climate change and all these things, but are totally ignorant of the fact that the world is coming under judgment. God has set a day when he will judge the habitable earth in righteousness by the man whom he has appointed. And that is the same glorious person who's presented in the glad tidings as a saviour to you tonight. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no choices given in the glad tidings, you know. There's no options given. I can tell you that doing nothing is not an option if you're unsaved tonight. I wouldn't like to be in your shoes for a moment. But God is sending the word out again, giving you an opportunity. Think of the heart of God out towards his creature. I mean, God's first voice to man is in creation. Paul tells us that in the beginning of Romans, that man is inexcusable as he takes account of creation. The finger of God is all over it. How could it just have happened? But God is not judging men tonight on creation. He's judging them on treatment of Christ. One man said, what shall I do with Jesus? What shall I do? And you know, you have to answer that question. You cannot take a neutral stance. To refuse Christ is to reject him. And if you reject grace in the glad tidings, can I assure you that judgment awaits you? Well, the Nile rises in Central Africa, and it flows nearly 4,000 miles, I think, north out to Egypt. And it brings great prosperity and blessing, because the Nile Delta is a very rich area. And the water is there for irrigation. What have the Egyptians done? My river is mine own. I've made it for myself. That's typical, you know, of man taking God's blessings and appropriating them to himself. You know, maybe you're like the man in Luke 12 who received God's blessing. Successful farmer. It says his land brought forth abundantly. How did that happen? Because of the rain, because of the sun, because of what God gave him. He said, I'll take down my barns and build greater. Repose thyself. What basis did that man have to repose himself? God said to him, fool, fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And who shall be what thou hast prepared? Oh, the folly of a life without God, a life without Christ. People make all kinds of preparation for retirement and all these things, and are neglectful of their soul destiny. Where will you spend eternity? You say, what has this got to do with me? Well, let me tell you that according to the scripture, you're a sinner and you need a savior. You need a savior. That's everybody. I don't know everybody here, but that's the truth. From scripture, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now what's God's response to that? Shut up all in unbelief. That he might bring in judgment? No, that he might show mercy to all. That is God's heart in the glad tidings tonight. That whosoever, the gospel is going out to whosoever will. Isn't that wonderful? That speaks volumes of the heart of God, you know. Encapsulated as it is in John 3:16, which I'm sure has been the saving of many souls, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have life eternal. You know, that word needs no updating whatever. You know, some of us, many of us in this room have known no war at all in Europe. Over 70 years, there's been peace in Europe. Is the world a better place? Is it a safer place? How could it be when the Prince of Peace has been rejected? The only safe place in the universe tonight is sheltering under the precious shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth therein and is safe. Oh, are you on solid ground tonight? Or are you moving in independence, you know? Are you being swept along in the world system, which is heading for judgment? You remember the story of the man who worked at the Niagara Falls, and on his day off, in a warm, sunny afternoon, he took a boat out on the upper river. And he fell asleep in the boat, and the boat drifted off downstream. And persons on the bank became aware of his plight and called to him. It's like the preacher, you know, calling tonight. It's like wisdom standing at the crossways. Stop. Where are you headed? Boat continued on, and then by and by it lodged behind a rock. He could have got out of the boat onto the rock. You could get out tonight. The course of your life could be stopped tonight by getting onto the rock. Behold, I lay for foundation in Zion a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. And he that trusteth shall not make haste. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, rejected by man, but exalted at heaven, in heaven at God's right hand. The one whom men have been singing about, whose incoming was amazing. And it was the incoming of Jesus, the creator of the universe, there in Bethlehem's manger. We can't take it in, but there it was, touching humanity at its weakest point. Why did he come? I am come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's you and you and you and me, every one of us, lost. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to convey what was in God's heart and his desire to bless his creature, to tell his creature how much he loved him. That's what Jesus has done, you know. He lived a life of absolute perfection. There's no life like the life of Christ. What a study it is for us, you know. The Gospels, let's never stray far from the Gospels. A life of absolute perfection, so different from your life and mine, you know. But a life that had to be surrendered in death, ere I could be brought into blessing. Had to be a sacrifice made for sin. What a debt, you know, I owed. And it was a debt that I couldn't discharge. It couldn't be overlooked either. God can't overlook sin, you know. People speak about God being a God, a loving God. But God's also a righteous God. And he's a holy God. And he can't act outside of his righteousness and his holiness. So he loved his creature and he desired to bless him. But he had no basis to do so until Christ came. We could never have understood how God felt about us until Jesus came. The kindness and love to man of a Savior God appeared in Jesus. Titus 3. Oh, the love of God is boundless. Think of the hymn writer saying about the cross. There I learn God's heart to me. I understand how much God loved me by what my Savior was prepared to endure to set me free. That's what Christ has done for me. His blood availed for me. That's why I can stand here and tell you of such a Savior, because he intervened in my life and turned it around. Will you allow him to intervene in your life tonight? Think of him intervening in the life of that poor widow, the city of Nain. Think of death, you know. Death is final. It's as far as the natural is concerned. That poor widow woman, you know, lost her husband and then lost her son. The Lord knew all about it. Nain means pleasantness. It wasn't very pleasant for her, was it? But the Lord knew what was proceeding in that woman's life. He knows what's proceeding in your life, dear friend. He knows. He stopped the beer. He stopped the beer. Whole course of things in that woman's life was stopped by the creator of the universe. Be turned around. Your life can be turned around tonight. No. To realize that you need a Savior, that the idea of independence of God will result in a Christless eternity. But what if death comes tonight, you know? How wilt thou do in the swelling of the Jordan? You know, the Jordan would swell up in harvest time, and the wild beasts that had lairs on its banks would get disturbed.
It was a time of trouble and of death. It's a type of death, the River Jordan. When the ark, which is a type of Christ in the Old Testament, was carried into the River Jordan, and as the people of God were going into the land, the waters went back 20 miles. And yet it says that the Jordan was full over all its banks. You know, death was real for my Saviour. He met death in its full force and power. And he went there for me. He gave up his life. I was under the sentence of death because of what I'd done. But he went there voluntarily to release me from its power, the power of death. And so the ark stayed in the Jordan. There was no water there, and the people crossed over. It's typical of Christ's complete victory over death. As he comes out of death triumphant, clears a way through death for all who will trust in him. How would you fare tonight if you had to meet God? Where would you stand? One man was told that he was weighed in the balances and found wanting. Was there any salvation for that man? No. And that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. Think of meeting God. Think of going into death without a link with the Saviour. These are solemn matters, you know. You see, is this glad tidings? You need to be warned. You need to know the consequences of refusing Christ as a Saviour. It's too costly. What is offered tonight has been... the cost is immense. You can go free tonight because Jesus prayed the price in full. I love the story of the two men who were friends, and their paths of life took them in different roads. One became in law and became a judge, and the other had a dissolute life, and he was called up for his sins, for his offences. And there was his friend in the dock. Yeah, the judge was his friend. And the judge was appealed to be lenient because of the man's condition. And the judge said that justice had to be seen to be done. And he passed the man's sentence of a heavy fine. Then he took off his robes and went down to the bar and paid the man's fine. That's what Jesus has done. He's paid your fine. He's paid your debt, if you'll trust him tonight. Precious blood. No wonder Peter could speak of it. Precious blood cleared me completely in the sight of a holy and righteous God. But the cost was immense. God said, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. God saw the blood at Calvary's cross. It was the blood of his only begotten Son. Don't trifle with what it cost to offer you salvation tonight. I say again, if you refuse grace, judgment awaits you. River of God's grace is flowing o'er the barren place where Jesus died. That river of grace was available for that soldier who pierced the side of my Lord. Still flowing tonight. I love to think of it. The grace of God that carries with it salvation. Bringing it to Worthing tonight. Taking it wherever it's needed. Think of the Lord here in manhood. Bringing blessing to where it was needed. Bringing it to Samaria. Bringing it to Nain. Bringing it to Jericho. Wherever it was needed. You know, it's going worldwide tonight. The river of God's grace. There's no one
outside the pale of God's blessing tonight? No one. Isn't that wonderful? You know, we speak of the world being in provisional reconciliation. These are big words. But what it means is that provisionally, God is extending blessing in the glad tidings. It's possible for you to come to Christ tonight. It's possible for anybody to come to Christ. Or you can say, even all these vile people that we read of, the things they're doing, yes, it's possible for them to come to Christ. His blood can cleanse the vilest. Well, will you accept the offer of God's grace tonight? I can't speak of tomorrow for any one of us. Everybody here knows the date of their birth. No one knows the date of their death. Death will overtake you, my friend, every single person. If the Lord tarries, because the Lord's coming for those who love him, he's coming again. You know, we're saying in the reading, you can trust the words of the Lord Jesus completely. I am coming again. I'm coming again and shall receive you to myself. But it may be tonight. We don't know when it is. It may be tonight. But in any event, any one of us may be called at any time. Why will you risk the peril of lost eternity? Come to Christ tonight. The world, as I said, is heading for judgment. Read about it in 2 Thessalonians 1. Read what Paul says about what's going to happen to those who refuse the glad tidings. But the river of God's grace is flowing tonight. May you come in repentance and faith to trust in the Saviour for his name's sake.